Oh.
Blog Talk Radio.
Blog Talk Radio.
Well, Benjamin Franklin said after they ratified the Constitutional Convention that he said to a lady who asked him, what have you done? He said, we've given you a democracy if you can hold on to it. And that really is the challenge. You know, democracy really begins with people, with small groups of people who stand up and say, we're not going to allow this tyranny anymore. And American democracy happened when a handful of farmers, of dirt farmers, with arcane weaponry from Concord, Massachusetts, and Lexington, Massachusetts, confronted the largest superpower on the planet on a bridge in Concord, an empire upon which the sun never set, the largest empire in human history. And the unlikely result of that confrontation was that we won ourselves a country. And I don't underestimate the powers that are arrayed against us. And, you know, a corporate power of a kind that we haven't seen any time in American history, at least since the 1880s and 1890s. But, you know, we lost democracy in the Gilded Age. And we won it back because there were a few courageous reporters like Ida Tarr Bell and Upton Sinclair. And there were a handful of courageous politicians led by Teddy Roosevelt who, you know, was willing to challenge the malefactors of great wealth. And they passed a series of laws that gave us back our democracy, the Sherman Antitrust Act, which started breaking up the big trust, the graduated income tax that finally made corporations and the wealthy shoulder their fair burden of paying for the operations of our nation and our democracy. The laws that allowed labor unions to organize, which finally gave us a middle class in this country. A middle class where, you know, a single person with a job could support a family and send their kids to college and buy a house and live decent lives. And that gave us prosperity and stability that made this nation the envy of the rest of the world for the next 80 years. And perhaps the most important law they passed of all was a law that they passed in 1907 that forbade corporate contributions to the political process. And that law really helped put the bit in the mouth of corporate power, put the grip of the public hand on the reins of corporate power for the next five generations. But last year, the United States Supreme Court, as part of a campaign that began during the Reagan era of dismantling the reforms of the populist era, the progressive era, the New Deal, and really all the way back to the Renaissance. You know, the Bush administration was really an attack on the Renaissance, on, you know, scientific thought and enlightenment. And we're seeing that assault in the latest battery in that assault has been the decision this year in the Citizens United case by the United States Supreme Court, which threw out 100 years of American law and allowed the tsunami of corporate money to flow now into the political process. And that really, in many ways, is, you know, the end of democracy in our country.
This is Here Be Monsters. It's Friday, October 7th, and Jack Jodell is with me today from Minnesota, my Sunday buddy. Jack, welcome on board for the daytime, day week, weekday solidarity with Occupy Wall Street. Thanks for being
here. Hey, great to be with you again, Gwen. It's an honor, and it's nice to be here on this beautiful day. There's so much going on in the country right now. Progressives everywhere are having a busy, fruitful time.
It's quite true. It's harvest time in America, and it's a very strange harvest what we got going on. We do have Tricia Poole, or P.E. Nolan, online here. She I hope she's hearing me and she knows I'm going to bring her on in just a second. I want to say hello to Osoria in the chat room, Al Osoria. Also,
hi,
also, thank you for joining us.
Mm-hmm.
He's given us some crap about RFK, who's one of my favorite people, but he can give us that kind of crap because to him it is kind of colonial rhetoric when he talks about how we won the Revolutionary War.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Columbus Day is not a day that Oso is going to be celebrating, and I myself
right.
don't celebrate it
yeah.
in kind with him.
Actually, it was the Vikings that first discovered the country, or the
right.
landform here, not the Columbus, so that's a misnomer.
It's quite true, and they left, they cohabitated or friended the Indians or battled them, but honorably without really deciding to empire
exploit
build over
them.
There.
Yeah.
Right. So this is Here Be Monsters, our weekday version, which is in solidarity with Occupation Wall Street. And I'm going over and putting the mic on for Tricia. Tricia, can you hear me?
I can.
Hi, Tricia.
Hey. Tricia,
I'm
this
down
is
here,
Jack.
I'm down here at Liberty Pond.
Hey.
Great.
And,
what's going on?
It's cool. It's cool. There's people in the middle doing yoga. When I went to the health food store to get Arnica, the guy who owned the place threw in an extra bottle. The medics
wow.
here say Arnica is great because they're having a lot of sprains. So definitely with the Arnica and the rescue remedy. So that's good. But I saw a guy named Jeffrey Sachs. He's an economist with a book, was just in the circle. And, well, you know, it's just like at the north end, there's a circle where speakers go, and then they shout out what he said. So Jeffrey Sachs was doing that.
Yeah.
And I ran
mm-hmm.
into this woman I haven't seen since our kids were in daycare together. She's down here with End U.S. Military Aid to Israel, twopeoplesonefuture.org. Is what she's doing. And,
wow.
It's all good. It's all good.
Hey, how many people are there today, Tricia?
I don't know, a lot.
Yeah.
I don't know, you know, but it's, but CNN's got their door open so we can tell they're not jacking off in there. The cops are nice. I noticed that one of the women cops had all her makeup on, so she must be ready for her close-up. It's good. You know.
Booyah.
Yeah, it's all good down here.
Yeah.
But the police are good. The crimes are drumming. There's piles of stuff, but I also signed up with the volunteer coordinator to find out more about what kind of batteries they need for their cameras to keep the Global Revolution up and running.
Okay.
So that's what I've been doing.
Are there a lot of union
Great.
People there today again?
There are not a lot, but they have a table up at one end. It's really cool the way that there's masking tape on the ground to define where the paths are, and then there's a community organizations table, there's a press table, there's the Facebook table. The Naked Cowboy's been here. I don't know if you know the Naked Cowboy. He typically...
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I do.
Okay, well, he's been here in his Fruit of the Looms.
With his guitar?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. He's singing and make the golf blush. you know, but it's cool. I mean, there's, like, there's the thing for composting. You know, and as per usual, there's everybody walking around taking pictures of everybody else so we can get on the news.
Well, there's a lot of solidarity out there among all of you in New York with everybody across the country, really. I just got back from this morning. I went down to Occupy Minnesota, which is smaller
awesome.
In scope than what you're experiencing there. But every bit is enthusiastic. And it was very gratifying to see so many people so united in one kind of mindset. And this particular Occupy Minnesota was started up by a 23-year-old student from southern Minnesota who, you know, was concerned about his future. So it's kind of a universal thing that's kind of sprung out of nowhere.
Wow. Go ahead, Trish.
No, I just was wondering, it was a cute song. A guy had the Monopoly man peeing on the United States and said, you know, the guys in the game Monopoly. It said trickle down, and he's peeing anyway. It's funny. So, you know, I still say, I don't know how people can compare this to a Tea Party rally on the count of the signs are literate.
Oh, yeah.
No, it's all good. No. It's all good.
Yeah.
It is.
It's all
That's
good.
Great to hear. That's great to hear.
How long are you going to be down there tonight?
You know, I have to head home here, you know, before dark. People are going to be looking at me. There's Malcolm's mom again. And it's fun. It's fun. Last
it
week,
really
J.P.
is,
Morgan,
isn't it?
It really is, and you know, there's just signs everywhere, but there's also, I didn't know they could have hot coffee and stuff, but they do have some so they can make tea and all. Oh, listen, I'm going to go talk to them at the food table. I'll call you back in a minute, okay?
Okay, thank you.
Great,
okay, bye. Sure, I'll call you back.
Great.
All right.
That was good.
Trisha Nolan, the famous P.E. Nolan, Trisha Poole, who is also part of, and we are, as well as being in total solidarity, this is a project put on by the writers of Round Tree 7, and that's 7.com, a place where you can find people posting knowledge to the social consciousness. Did I get that right, Jack?
You sure did. Roundtree 7,
did.
It's just the numeral 7, and it's one word, roundtree7.com.
There we go. And I want to put a big hello and thank you for being here out to the people in our chat room right now. We have Anna is back again, and guest number 3182, hello. Which could be Nick. I know she's sneaking in here and there. Also is with us. And Saria Houdin, I don't know if I'm pronouncing that right, but I'm doing my very best. And I want you all to know that we appreciate our listeners, and we hope that we're giving you some valuable information on how to help out and put support into occupation of Wall Street, and also OccupyTogether.org, where you're going to find a listing of now. It has grown to over, over 907 cities.
Yeah, it was just 595 yesterday. Now it's over 900. That's fabulous.
Is that jamming or what? Now, I myself will be attending Occupy Lake Worth tomorrow morning over by the bridge at the Intercoastal and Bryant Park. And for any of the local people who tune into the show, I intend to anchor the solidarity of Occupy Lake Worth and the Night Heron Center of activists and all the good people of my town. Here on Here Be Monsters, our daily affiliate. And Jack is with me on Sundays. You're with me today. Tell us about your adventures today with Occupy Minnesota.
Well, it started out rather small, to be expected. We're not as big as New York, of course. It started out with probably 2 to 250 people. But by the time I left, it was, I think, in excess of 400, I would say, easily. And it seemed to continue to grow. And tonight it's going to kick off a big thing at 5. I won't be there, but I'll be there, you know, later on this weekend probably. And they're expecting even more. They're expecting it to grow to over maybe 1,000 or so. So we'll see what happens. It was very pleasant. It was a partly cloudy kind of day. It was very windy out and a little bit cool when it started, but now it's quite warm. But at any rate, when I went down there with my sign, I had only been there about 5 minutes, and I was talking to a nice lady whose name I didn't get, but she and her friend were there with signs, and all of a sudden, local news people came up with a camera and a microphone, and they said, well, why are you folks down here today? And so I opened my big mouth, and I gave my spiel, and I said, we're here to protest the continual you know, our continual obsession with war as a means of profit, as corporate America is kind of destroying America with all its me-first tendencies and all that stuff, and you know, diluting the news and everything else. And I said, we're down here to protest all of that because it's just not right, and it's got America on the wrong track. You got millions of people out of work needlessly. There's millions of others that are they're fabulously wealthy and are just sitting on their wealth and tucking it away overseas where it isn't doing anybody any good. And it's just ridiculous what's going on. And I said, that's why we're down here. So that was kind of interesting that immediately got, you know, I don't know if they're going to play it or not, but they got a mouthful out of me.
Well,
and,
you'll have to watch the news tonight to find out.
Yeah, I will definitely. Yeah, they might have run it at noon, but perhaps they'll run it at 6, too. That's what I'm hoping, and I'll see. And maybe, if I'm lucky, even 10 o'clock, we'll see what happens. But at any rate, that's kind of the way it went. I saw a ton of great people down there and talked with a lot of them, all walks of life. You know, there were some kind of people that were, you know, obviously lower class. They didn't have, you know, very nice clothes on, and they looked kind of you know, like they hadn't shaved in a while and stuff. That's perfectly fine. And, you know, there are other people there that, you know, are obviously had been or still are part of the upper middle class. And some retirees, I spoke with some of them. And it was quite quite enlightening, really. One, I saw a number of great signs. And I'll be posting a lot of this on my site, the Saturday Afternoon Post. It's all in capitals, the Saturday Afternoon Post. I'll be posting it probably Sunday or maybe Monday at the latest, what I encountered today down there with a lot of the pictures that I took and stuff, too.
Wonderful.
Yeah.
Wonderful.
And I'll give a little more elaboration at that point, too. But I saw a hilarious sign that I didn't get a picture of, but it said this poor girl, she was walking around, you know, she's probably, you know, just graduating from college, and she was walking around with her friend, and they had a big sign, and it said, Michelle Bachmann has a better chance of being elected president than I do of finding a good job. And it was funny.
Yeah.
It was pathetic, but it was funny. You know, it's pathetic for that it's the reality that that's what she's facing. But
was
hilarious because, you know, the idea of Michelle Bachmann even getting anywhere near the White House, I mean, it just shows you how hopeless the girl feels, and rightfully so.
I hear you. I hear you.
So that was incredibly interesting. I talked to a retiree who had just now, after all these years, gotten cable, or not cable, but satellite TV, and he was discovering Keith Olbermann. He was discovering Link TV and all the things on it. And he says, that Link TV, he says, that place, that thing scares me. And I said, what do you mean, scares you? He says, I didn't know any of that stuff. I go, well, that's the great thing about it. You don't see that on regular TV.
You only see it on Link TV.
Terry,
would you give, we have someone in the chat room asking, so would you give the HTTP address for your blog?
Website? You bet. Yeah, it's HTTP, you know, / twice, then it's Jack Jodell, JACKJODELL, 53.wordpress.com.
There you
go.
It's
HTTP JackJodell53.wordpress.com.
And we have Tricia back on the line, so let me open her mic up and let her tell us what's going on in New York City.
Well, guess what? You know that cute guy with the little hat that was on the Fox News that didn't get on because he was too smart?
Yeah.
Yeah, I just met him.
Cool. Oh, that's nice. How's he doing?
Well, he's just good as he can be. He's with a friend from Washington State and a guy named Malcolm, who's also cute, but I don't know if he's married or not. And they're all at the batteries, where there's in the middle of the park is the communication station, and anybody can come and charge their cell phones. And so that's where all the computers are in a ring, and that's their outreach spot. So
see, that's a side benefit of going down to the protest movement, because you might latch on to somebody that's cute down there.
So
it's a good thing to do.
You know, I already turned my Match.com profile into a statement for Occupy Wall Street and said that I was not messing around with these D-bags on Match no more, that I'm down at Occupy Wall Street. And so that's been interesting since I said that. But I figured that, you know, it's more free things to get everybody to know that all kinds of people are out here for all kinds of reasons just dating.
Yeah. Yeah.
But there's yoga going on. It's cool.
Is anybody talking about October 2011 in Washington taking place right now in unison?
People are mentioning it. It's kind of hard to keep up with what's going on around you. It's just snippets of conversation as you walk by. But I think that the thing that is most exciting is just how everybody here really appreciates knowing how much other people, other places are behind them. So the solidarity is very
great.
Important.
That's good to know. They at Occupy Minnesota today, Trish, they read off the declaration that Keith Olbermann read on Current TV the other night. So that was great to hear again.
They've taken that portions of that declaration and blown it up into probably like 3x5 feet signs. And so they're walking around with those so that people can see the declaration.
Because that nailed it.
It really did. I put that on my blog as well as on Roundtree also, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And,
yeah.
I still say, you know, I don't know how people, the media can say there's no clear message when the message is crystal clear.
Because the media is unclear. It's because the media is unclear.
Well,
they don't know what they're talking about.
Well, nobody told them what to say, and besides, it's the corporate propaganda anyway.
Right.
Go ahead, Trish. What is it?
Well, no, I think I'm going to go buy some buttons and send them down to you, Gwen, because I know you'll like that. I'm going to run around, and I'll call you guys back in a little bit.
Okay, dear. Thanks.
Okay.
Okay, bye. Have fun, y'all.
Yeah, thank you.
All right.
You gotta love her enthusiasm, don't you?
Oh yeah, she's an excellent correspondent. You know,
she is awesome. Yeah, she's incredible.
Yeah, and I think that PE or Trisha Poole, PE Nolan, will be taking one day a week to do this show on.
Great.
And do the solidarity show. She'll probably have Woody with her.
Okay.
And basically, there we got Dusty, and we've got Trisha, and I know that you and I do Sundays, and that's the regular show. But I hope you'll take one of the days too, Jack. It will
hey,
be
how
fun.
About is Krell doing any of the shows?
Well, yeah, he has volunteered to, but in the last week, it's only the weekends that he can work.
Oh, that's true,
last
yeah,
weekend,
right.
He actually had to go to attend the Occupy Tulsa, which he reported back on.
Great.
And on the show. And he's come down with a bad case of bronchitis, so he's kind
guy.
Of out for the count until he gets a little bit more well.
Yeah,
he'll get well. This is a shout out to David, to Krell, get David Williams over at Roundtree7.com, our fearless leader. David,
yeah.
please get well. And
yeah,
his birthday
do.
Is coming up, too.
He's
so it's a happy birthday,
writer.
Get well. He
he's
is.
An exceptional writer and a very good thinker. He's very enjoyable to reading.
It
so,
is.
Those of you who haven't hit Roundtree 7 blog yet, you've got to do it because there's nothing but incredible writers on Roundtree 7. It's a great place to visit and a good place to bookmark.
Oh, we've got a really good group of people who are dedicated to actually
right.
bringing you know, knowledge to the social consciousness. We really do. That's what we're
really
up
do.
To.
Very good.
This show is, I again will tell you all, everybody listening, this show is one that we're doing now. We're here every dang day.
Mm-hmm.
It's in solidarity with the folks of the Occupy Wall Street, or OWS, an acronym now. We're here every day from the weekdays 4 to 6. We'd love you to call in, too. Please, folks, call in if you want to. The call-in number is 213-816-0357. I'm going to write it for the chat room, folks. And we love hearing from you. We know that anyone who's listening and is part of the occupation somewhere will get a gets a big boost out of hearing how people are just really supporting them in their communities.
Let's hear from some of the folks that have been to some of the other Occupy events too across the country. Let's hear a little report from each of those. That'd be great.
I would love to. We get that occasionally. I'll get folks that are in there listening,
mm-hmm.
who call in and say, "Well, we were." I think twice now I've had people do that. That's pretty good. I mean, the proportion and the ratio of numbers. That's pretty good.
I would say very
and of
good.
Course,
yeah.
And of course, we have our roving reporter now, our Brenda Starr down in Occupy Wall Street, right
That's
at the Center
fabulous.
In Liberty Plaza. Yeah, I Trish is she's a gas, and
oh, she's
a
fun.
smart cookie too. She's a smart cookie. Not bad. Not bad for a New Yorker from Texas. You know.
That's true.
You know, the press is beginning to enter the foray, and they're asking, and I've thought about it because I'll be attending the Lake Worth Occupy, and there is a very large Fox affiliate right down the street practically from us here.
We should march right by them.
And if they have any questions, you have to be ready for them, because if you sound like an asshole, that's the one they're going to put on the air. You know?
Oh, they're
going to
portray you the worst possible way, the most extreme way they can. Yeah, you bet.
Yeah.
That's why you gotta bite your tongue and just think before you speak.
You really do. But on the clarity of issues, I mean, my first reply to people is, what's so unclear? Because don't they know how corrupt the banksters are, that Wall Street is very plain to the American public. The American population is responding to this movement because they understand that there is something badly wrong with our system. They understand that, you know, BP dumped millions of gallons of oil, crude oil, into, and they are again, by the way, it's leaking again, Macondo.
Oh, no.
And they sprayed poison all over it. Now, people throughout the Southeast are actually
getting sick.
Sick. They're dying. It's terrible. And people come up with, like, it's like virus effects. And if you saw what was in Corexit, you'd understand why, because they do put viruses into it.
Oh, my God.
The corruption extends beyond Wall Street. We saw by the second or third month, and I wish Oso was available to us because he can tell us the economics or the banking end of it,
sure.
Which, by the way, he posted a ResDog economic post today on the deficit.
Yeah, I
and,
just started reading it when you called, so I got to get back to it.
Yeah, and so if anybody is interested in knowing what numbers mean to all of this, they might check it out over on Roundtree 7, the
mm-hmm.
ResDoll
yeah.
installment.
I saw a retiree walking around with a sign today that caught my eye, and it was very simple, and it just said
mm-hmm.
the axis of evil. It said banking. Corporations, and Congress.
There you know. It's quite true.
I thought that was very clever.
It's quite true.
Yeah.
Oso's back. Oso, we just plugged your piece today, the ResDoll Economist. So please know we're about that. It's not. We have record poverty. We have the highest unemployment in how long?
Yeah.
And there's only 1% of the globe over the entire globe as far as money and currency. You know, we used to say 20 years ago.
With 1 in 6 living in poverty in this country now, that's outrageous and it's unacceptable. It's unacceptable.
I think it's actually 1 in 5.
Oh, it's gotten that bad now, huh? Oh, my God. It's heading in the wrong direction. Let's put it that way. There's something very, very wrong with that. And the right wing can scream and piss and moan all they want about everybody's on food stamps and all this crap. There's a reason for that. Their right wing buddies are keeping all the money.
Well, and here's the thing, too. Entitlement programs, we are entitled. That's exactly what they are. We pay them to them.
Yeah,
create them. So
it's not like we're holding anybody up for them.
Yeah, and no, it's just that favorite place that the neocons like to go and say, you know, this is, you know, spin. They're spin doctors. They spin it.
Oh, they lie.
Spin
all
it
the
on
time.
You.
They
well,
twist it and they lie.
And it's their favorite place to go when they're in the White House or they're big enough to get it put through.
Mm-hmm.
It's the place they like to go and swipe whatever they need in the moment from. I understand that they've taken out of Social Security.
They use it for the military-industrial complex.
And this has got to stop. We've got to grow
exactly.
up. You know, we are actually being asked as a species to make a choice now and evolve.
Mm-hmm.
We need to evolve beyond it. There's been a lot of talk about what revolution means right now.
Mm-hmm. Right.
I'm for the peaceful side of it. A lot of people I love very dearly are also for the get a fucking stick.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to get into a stick fight. And mm-hmm. how can you help but not have sympathy for that quality of mind?
Mm-hmm.
Usually it's the very smart, very quick to have the solution kind of folks that are saying right now, hey, enough is enough. They, you
mm-hmm.
know, we do this, we do that, but here comes back again. In the
right.
last 200, you heard Bobby Kennedy Jr. talking
mm-hmm.
about it at the beginning. I mean, the last
right.
time it took Upton Sinclair and a few and Teddy Roosevelt to right the wrongs. Now what's it going to take? Because you know, Bernie Sanders is not in the position. You know, and the Republicans
mm-hmm.
are not putting anyone up to primary against the sitting president, who is obviously
right.
a corporate man.
Yeah, right, right.
So that when people do say that revolution is here one way or another, you have to respect it.
Mm-hmm. Well, people.
Me, I'm peaceful.
Yeah.
Peace has been winning the day out
mm-hmm.
all across the planet.
Mm-hmm.
I hope that peace continues to win the day out.
Oh yeah.
You know, what do you think, Jack? What do you think our chances are?
Well, you know, in the past century, we haven't done very well in keeping peace and staying out of war. It's been, you know, almost constant warfare. It's just crazy. And now with the military-industrial complex, counting their monies at the counting house constantly and always devising new ways to spring up a new war to keep themselves well funded. You know, it's really, really, you know, it's
profiting.
It's terrible. It's the worst thing that can possibly be.
The things that I see in this country that are the most heinous, the largest corporations, the medical industry, pharmaceuticals and the medical industry. And, you know, I no longer trust what the government tells me.
No.
I haven't trusted for eons since my mother crossed over and I went through that.
Well, you can't trust the inflation rate because that's skewed. You can't trust their job forecast. That's skewed. I mean, you can't trust much, you know. You used to be able to trust. You used to be able to trust regulatory agencies, but Bush has bought them all out. You know, he put in all kinds of crony. It's crony capitalism, and you know,
it's
turned into a big joke.
Well, you've got the medical industry, which includes what they call healthcare provision.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you've got the energy industry, which includes all of the rotten things that are killing our planet, coal, oil, and all the horrible things that are going on with that. And then you have, as you say, the military industrial complex, which is make war and keep that machine of war smoking hot and on the go that they can profit. And they profit, they destroy the land, they destroy you remember that wonderful commercial that was the Don't Litter campaign that kicked it off in the 70s with the Italian gentleman who looked so Native American, and they had him in the canoe. And
he was
going
crying
down
about the way things were going.
Yeah.
I think that was in the early 80s, but regardless of the time frame, it's still relevant today.
Well, it's relevant, but, you know, It just goes to show you how far we haven't come and what is going on out there. I don't know how folks don't think that Fukushima isn't still dumping, you know, radiation every second of every day into the ocean.
And
right,
just
because
it's out
they
of the mainstream media, just because it's no longer covered on the news doesn't mean it disappeared and went off into space on its own. It didn't. It's still spewing things into the ocean. It's terrible.
It is. It's pretty awful. And then there's all of the exhausting and destructive weather that we've been going through that has taken its toll on. Good Lord, remember last winter how strange it was?
Oh, it was horrible.
You know, you're in Minnesota. You're used to...
We had a very bad winter last year, and it was unseasonably cold and snowy. We just got drenched, and it just kept coming and kept coming and kept coming. And we've had winters similar in the past, but nothing quite as strong or as abrupt as the change was last year. And I sure as hell hope we don't have it this year, but I'm not optimistic about that.
Well, when a Minnesotan, is that what I call you, a Minnesotan?
That's right.
It says that the winter has been unreal or really bad. You've got to sit and pause because Minnesota, I've been to Minneapolis in the winter to do a workshop once, and oh, my gosh, it's like, what are y'all, Alaska? It's like Montreal, darling.
It is. Well, it's damp cold, and it's damp cold, and there's a difference between damp cold and dry cold. Damp cold is a lot more chilling and right to the bone, whereas dry
it's
cold
like living
is,
on the water.
Huh?
Yeah. It's like living on the water. It penetrates right down to the bone,
Exactly, right.
You have a lot of lovely customs that keep things warm, I know, up there, too, like ice fishing and, you know,
and
all.
And what do they call it, the ice follies or the something like that in the wintertime in St. Paul, they have the ice parade or whatever it is.
The festival.
Sculpture.
The sculptures. I've been there. I've also and they have a lot of the same things they do in the Montreal and Toronto kind of festivals in
sure.
the winter. They have those strange drinks, and it's like going into Long Island and ordering an iced tea, you know. It's like,
actually,
okay.
Montreal may have a milder winter than we do. I'm not positive about that. I know Buffalo, New York has a horrible winter, too. But
it
Montreal,
absolutely does.
Montreal is not too terribly far from them, so maybe I'm wrong. But I know they get a lot of snow in Montreal, but I think our temperatures may be a little bit colder than theirs even.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Well, I you know, I was born in that snow belt, Rochester. It's Buffalo, Rochester. It's
yes, right
along that line.
Right.
When I was going to school, I was going to school down at the bottom of the state in Ithaca, but I would travel into Rochester quite a bit. And I can remember seeing 13-foot snowdrifts, you know?
Oh, yeah.
Deep.
Oh, yeah. Yeah,
I guess that is to me, that was huge.
That it is. Well, and we get that here on occasion, too. Yeah, so.
So if you have a lot of homeless people in the area in Montreal, or, excuse me, in Minnesota.
I don't know where they go.
And are you hearing on the local news? Did you hear about what would happen to them or how they were dealing with it last winter?
Well, you know, I think churches provide some aid, and I don't know exactly what, but I know for a fact every day of the year, rain, snow, shine, or whatever the case may be, a local church in downtown Minneapolis has a free lunch for anybody who's down and out. So you can go have a sandwich and a cup of coffee, absolutely free, and you
uh-huh.
can't live at the place and you know, have meals there all the time. But they do provide this for people who are down and out, and that's good, you know. And part of that's paid for. Every year they have the what they call the Minneapolis Aquatennial. It's a big week-long fest in Minneapolis, and they have a lot of music and stuff in downtown Minneapolis, and they sell tickets to it. And that's what the proceeds from that go directly to that church effort. So that's a good local charitable endeavor that helps a lot of down-and-out people.
Great. Well, that's good to hear. It's good to know that. We have Tricia back on the horn here.
I met Robert Billy from WrestleMania.
Oh, well, wonderful.
Yeah, he was just speaking. And I got to be in the circle and yell out too. And anyway, he's headed off to take care of his voice. But anyway, he was just addressing the group. So, Well, anyway, in case anybody doesn't know, I mean, I think he's famous, but Robert Billy has started the Church of Life After Shopping, which may, now that I think about it, have been tied in with Adbusters for all of the no shopping days on Black, you know, the day after Thanksgiving and all of that.
Robert Billy has been speaking,
and then he changed the church to the Church of Earth Alleluia after, or the name of the church, after he got so involved with mountaintop removal. So he's been going back and forth between New York here, and also, well, because he had to be in court for mountaintop removal, and had been using the necessity defense in his own defense, or his lawyer was using it because since nothing else will work, we have no choice but to put our bodies between the corporations and this bullshit, you know, that they're perpetrating. And so that's
right.
what Reverend Billy was contending.
Isn't he working with the group that is Robert Kennedy, all of them,
you know,
with the mountain?
He's working with a lot of people, and so I'm not really sure, but I promised I would go to church things, to the Church of Earth Alleluia. So anyway, he looks wonderful. He looks wonderful.
Good.
And anyway, he's that's what's going on now. And then it's, you know, I was over at the drum circle, and I meant to be, there's a guy making the buttons that I was going to go get for you, and I didn't find him. I found Rubber Billy instead. So that's what's happening.
It's wonderful to know who you're finding.
That's what's happening here at Liberty Park, and it's all good. It's still all good. I mean, the kids are I say kids because they're all under 40, and I'm not. So anyway, that's
now they're calling this the American Autumn after the Arab Spring. They're calling this the American Autumn, and I kind of like that terminology because it ties it in with that effort in Egypt, and it's kind of birds of the same feather, you know.
Are they embracing that, Trish? Can you tell?
You know what? I can't tell because we're just down here embracing each other, I think. And if people were, you know, I think that there is a sense that this is a global situation. But it's kind of hard to keep Egypt in mind when they're standing in the middle of the New World Trade Centers are going up over there, and one of the things Reverend Billy has, you know, just like behind us, and Reverend Billy was saying that we have not had an opportunity to have free speech in a public space since 9/11 in New York City, which
right.
I think is
that's true.
You know, and in fact, we have systematically lost more and more of our rights since 9/11. And that you never
that's
lose sight of that when you're standing in the shadow of the new construction or the pile or even Century 21, which is the department store that everybody worried about. So, you know, it's very, very focused on Wall Street here. But having said that, there is the sense that we're all in this together. It's one, but it's one thing that you talk about a lot, Gwen, about if this is our tribe, and the one thing you see more than anything is 99%, whether it's, you know,
you
in
go.
Sharpie on a, you know, it's people have put it in a magic marker on their bandanas around their head. They're writing it on their T-shirts. They're writing it on their bodies.
It's
you know,
everywhere.
We are the 99%, and that really
everywhere.
Doesn't matter what country you're in, what county you're in, anywhere,
right.
That
pretty well tells you that the OWS can't be co-opted.
No, it can't. I mean, I know Van Jones wants to, but, you know, nobody here is buying that bullshit. So, you know.
It's a savvy group.
You know, the only person I think that I've seen co-opting really is the Naked Cowboy, and he just wanted to come down, you know. I think he's all right. He's caught in New York, and he's just changing his venue. But it's nice. There's the big old box at the kitchen table. Dinner's every night at 6. The box you can just put dollar bills in. But they do need granola bars and things like that. So, because they have snacks going all the time.
Are there enough rain ponchos and stuff? I know at one point you were pretty short on that stuff.
You know, I think
they
need reindeer at all times, not only for themselves, but also for the equipment. Oh, Code Pink has been here today, too. I forgot to tell you that early. And then there's a sign, 99.1% speculate on those odds. That's what they're holding up to Wall Street right now. And so, it's really hard to think of anything besides Wall Street because we're here on Wall Street, and they are. Oh, here's the book. It's Jeffrey D. Sachs, The Price of Civilization, is what that author was here earlier. Here's the Granny Peace Brigade is out. Zach
give them a high five for me.
I will. And there's democracy. It's not a spectator sport. Anyway, I'm going to go give these women a hug and call y'all back in a little while.
Great. Sounds good. Keep up the good work.
Thank you.
Okay, bye.
Okay, bye-bye. Hey, Gwen, I forgot to mention, I don't know if our listeners know this too. Amy Goodwin won her lawsuit against the Republicans and against the St. Paul Police Force for the treatment that she received during the 2008 convention.
I saw that. Yes.
That's great news.
Amy Goodman is, yes.
It's going to cost the GOP a little bit of dough, and that's great. And the St. Paul Police Force as well.
Wow. That
I learned
is good
that
news.
I learned that just today down at the protest. So that's
that
very
is,
good news.
That is excellent. That is excellent.
Yeah.
You know, three women are sharing the Nobel Peace Prize this year.
Great.
Out of Oslo today, I guess Liberian President Ellen Johnson Sirleaf and her compatriot and peace warrior Lima Gowi, and Yemen's Arab Spring activist. Oh, God, I know how to pronounce her name. She's a blogger. Twaikul, it's T-A-W-A-K-K-U-L, Karman, the Arab blogger who was so deeply involved in all of it. These women are sharing the Nobel Peace Prize.
That's
pretty
important.
Well, that's
fabulous.
Yeah. Things are changing. Things are changing.
Oh, thank goodness. Yeah, that's great. Yeah, so we've got a lot to feel, even though we're trapped in all this plutocratic nonsense, we've got a lot to feel hopeful about, and this is real hope and change, not that stuff we were sold 3 years ago, you know?
Absolutely. This is authentic, what you call personally authentic.
Right.
People are personally involved in this. You know
that
over 20,000 people marched on Wednesday in New York City with all those unions.
Incredible.
Yesterday, 10,000 people turned out in Portland, Oregon.
Oh, that's fabulous. Oh, yeah, Tomcat of Politics Plus would love to hear about. Oh, I'm sure he knows about that. That's right in his backyard.
Yeah.
It's right in his backyard.
There was also something I saw in Alternet that sort of disturbed me, but I doubt if these people will be able to get away with it very much. You know, Mayor Bloomberg's living girlfriend, is on the board of the company, the real estate company that owns Zuccotti Park. And apparently they are trying to look for a way to get the protesters out of there, to sweep them out.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, Bloomberg has a hand in that.
Well, and he's tone deaf to the whole thing.
Sure
he's
is.
He's very tone deaf to the reason
like
for
it.
The protest. Well, he doesn't really feel, the other part of the tone deaf is that he doesn't really feel that they're making any kind of real problem except in the moment for his city and the cost of police and such.
That's all
he
cares about.
He doesn't really get the, yes. He, you know, the let them eat cake moment that happened with the Wall Street, the stock exchange balcony over there. I guess it was at the end of last week when they had the champagne.
He sat up there and sipped champagne, and boy, did that lead to a flood of political cartoons that were hilarious.
Well, not only that, but, you know, Adbusters is based out of they're sort of known to be the bricks and mortar side, the legal thrust, if you will, of Anonymous, the hundreds of thousands of hacktivists online who have been of support and help to this whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
And they issued a missive the beginning of this week that said that they issued one of their, you know, warnings. The last time they did this was Orlando here. The police department arrested everybody from the group Food Not Bombs who were feeding the homeless in the park.
Isn't that disgusting?
The police, And Anonymous said, well, okay. They took down their, they took down the Chamber of Commerce, their website, and put graffiti for, you know, for Food Not Bombs all over it, and they can no longer use their website. They also, well, and they're capable of doing a lot more. And basically, at the beginning of this week, because of the Let Them Eat Cake attitude,
By terrible, I mean it's terrible that the situation had to occur, you know.
Absolutely.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Right.
Well,
not that it happened, terrible. I'm glad it did happen to him, but, you know.
Yeah, well, Chamber of Commerce, they deserve it.
They deserve it big time.
So the beginning of this week, the hacktivist nation that's known as Anonymous, and we're all anonymous to some degree.
Right.
I know I am, heart and soul. I really trust and back these guys. I support them.
Mm-hmm.
They came out with a warning, a threat. Actually, it's a threat. And they don't make them unless they're going to try and put it through. Most people think it won't happen.
Mm-hmm.
But they have said that on Monday they are going to wipe the New York Stock Exchange off the internet.
Boy,
wouldn't that be to see
that happen?
See that?
Wow,
that
would be incredible.
We get.
That would just be incredible.
I think it would be an incredibly good thing myself too, because it would absolutely stir the pot.
It'd knock the pot off the stove.
It would.
Oh man, let's see what happens. That's interesting.
And so I have a moment here of celebration. My younger sister just walked through the door. It means her car's been fixed, and that's been a long time coming. So
great.
A woo-hoo and a booyah from South Florida. But, yeah, if they do that, so Monday is going to be a rather interesting day.
It should be. That sounds incredible. Well, you know, like I said at the very outset here, these are incredibly big times for progressive Americans. I mean, there is so much activity going on right now as a result of this Occupy Wall Street and Anonymous's efforts. It's just incredible. We haven't seen anything like this in many, many, many years.
You know, I don't think, actually, Jack, we've seen anything like this before. Once again, I know we're coming on the top of the hour, and I know basically you're good to go for an hour, and you usually want to keep it clamped on that. I hope you'll stick with me for a little while longer here. I want to tell folks that we really want to know what their opinion is and to give us a call.
Yeah, let's get some callers in here.
I usually get some. Well, we got our intrepid roving reporter on site at Wall Street and Liberty,
mm-hmm.
there in the encampment. But our guest call-in number is 213-816-0357. I'm going to put it into the chat room for anyone looking there. And hopefully we'll get some opinions. I know that Oso's listening to us, but I believe he's at work and he really can't call right now.
Yeah.
He's out in San Francisco. Booyah, sending the big love to Occupy San Francisco, which is hundreds strong. I think it reached over 1,000. I'm not quite sure.
That's great.
But it's they've been doing a fantastic job out there.
Mm-hmm.
And so are you going to go back to Occupy Minnesota?
Oh, I will go back.
Tomorrow.
I don't know exactly when, but it'll be this weekend sometime because it's ongoing, just like Occupy Wall Street. There's people down there with tents and stuff, too. So they're allowing them to have tents and stuff and sleep overnight. And so there will be activity for a good long time to come, I'm sure until the first snowfall or until it gets very, very terribly cold out. So there will be a lot of activity on there, and I plan on making a number of visits and telling my friends about it and getting them down there too.
Wonderful. Absolutely wonderful.
Yep.
And I know, of course, I can count on you to call in and give us the information. I don't know. I'll tell you what. We are in it for as long as it goes here. We are the everyday solidarity with Occupy Wall Street, and it's important right now to do the commercial break for OccupyTogether.org so people will know
mm-hmm.
where to go. I want to thank you, Jack, for being with me today.
Yeah, good to be with you again, Gwen. Kind of a special extra day this week.
Hey, yeah, and don't forget Sunday. We're right back here at 6 p.m. for our regular show.
That's right. What's the topic this week?
You know, it's slipping my mind right now, but I do think we have a guest coming on. I just can't.
Great. I'll take a look online. So that's great. Great.
Well, but we always got a topic going right now, so it's consistent. And it's vital. Again, Jack Jodell of the Saturday Afternoon Post blog, and also one of the writers over at Roundtree7, that's number7.com, and Daughters of Isis, Ancestor Aromacology, all three sponsoring all of this time we're taking to be here online every day between 4 and 6-ish, whatever we can do, and to bring solidarity and information and ongoing, I guess, stream of consciousness information to the public. And we got a caller, and
great.
I'm going to open it up to him. And this is the Voice of Truth. I like that, the Voice of Truth. Hello, caller. Come on on. Can you hear us?
Hello. Can you hear me?
Yes. Hi. How are
you?
Hi. How are you doing?
Very good.
We're doing fine. How are you today?
I'm doing good. Just trying to figure out about this Occupy Wall Street thing. I've heard about it on the news a bit. Just trying to figure it out because I've heard so many different stories.
Well, what news have you been watching?
I got people online I talk to, and they do their own little news thing.
Okay.
And there's a guy that lives in Manhattan I talked to that did some videos and stuff.
Uh-huh. Okay.
And in one of his videos, there's an older gentleman, and he's talking about, like, socialism and stuff.
Oh, well, you know, that's a code word that the right wing uses for anything they don't like. They tar it as socialist, and then all of a sudden that's supposed to discredit it. So I don't know in what context that was used, but this is not a socialist movement. This is a purely democratic movement begun by young people and for the benefit of virtually everybody who's in the 99% who aren't the upper 1% in wealth. So that's kind of what it's all about. And if that makes it socialist, then I guess it's socialist.
No,
I don't see it that way.
No, I was
You can find all of the information that you're looking for
right.
online, actually online. It's all stated very clearly. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, because I was just wondering, because I heard that they're doing one in Richmond. I live down here in Virginia.
Oh, great, okay.
And I hear
nice.
They're doing one in Richmond.
Yeah, they're all over the country.
So,
if you go to OccupyTogether.org, you'll see there are places all over the world where these things are happening. Just click on the subtopic is actions. And you'll see it listed all over the place on different parts of the country and the world. You can click on that and then see the spots underneath it where they're having events going on. So, it's going bananas. You know, 2 days ago it was 595 worldwide events. Now it's over 900. Who knows where it's going to end up?
Can I ask you a question?
Yeah.
It's a very serious question.
Yeah.
Because I'm also, like I said, You saw my name. I'm trying to become this kind of, you know, non-mainstream reporter, whatever you want to call it. You know, I'm all for the Constitution and stuff, and I believe in our constitutional rights and all.
Great.
So I'm all for that. What is, like, the goal overall?
The goal overall,
it's to identify the problems is number one. And number two, after that point, I'm sure they will come up with a series of recommendations and
methods of action. Jack, what they're really doing is they're creating a movement. Are you familiar with the civil rights struggle, sir?
Oh, sure.
I don't know your first name or your last name, the Voice of the Truth. I'm addressing you, dude. I'm Gwen. basically here, what they are doing is they are doing their very best to establish a movement, just like Dr. King did,
mm-hmm.
in pressing the issue, the social issue of civil rights into law. Do you remember, or have you learned about that in school,
yes.
or anything?
Okay. Yes.
So you're aware what a movement is and the ability and the possibilities that a movement creates.
Yes,
legally and socially.
Yes, ma'am.
It's a shift of the culture, of the norm, too. And that's what you're watching happen right here. When Jack tells you that it's over, it's actually 907 cities that are on the boards right now. And they're global. Over 700 of them are in the United States. Cities that have signed up, and there could be only one or two people who are attending some of them, but that's how many places on the planet that are saying, yes, there's got to be a stop. And at the anchor, at the core of all of this, is the profiteering of the corporations
mm-hmm.
over the needs of the community and the people. Poverty
mm-hmm.
levels are at record highs. People are suffering. Children can't get medical help. I mean, the conditions of our economy, the conditions of our country and the community, my gosh, today is the 10th anniversary of the Afghanistan war, 10 years at war.
Mm-hmm.
That's unthinkable. It's unconscionable. Something
yeah.
has to change. So
right.
what we have going on right now is the very real hopes of that what is going to happen is the creation of a verified movement. That's basically, I think, ground zero, if you will.
Let me add to
that.
Just like the civil rights movement, when it first started out, it started out just as a series of protests, and it was obvious to those who were involved what the problem was. They didn't have civil rights, and they protested, certain individual things, not being able to sit at a lunch counter, not being able to ride the bus, et cetera, et cetera. And from that great movement came a series of laws that eventually worked their way through Congress and were signed into law, among which were the Voting Rights Act, the Civil Rights Act.
The Great Society, yeah.
And the Great Society and the Fair Housing Act. So those were the three big acts that were the direct result of the civil rights movement. This is a movement that's still coalescing. It's still being formed. It's still taking shape, and it's still open to interpretation by virtually everybody, and there's a lot of input being put into it. But the basic underlying principle is that corporations are screwing the public for their own good, and they're creating a 1% of this country that has a massive amount of wealth and is not sharing that wealth. And that's the basic underlying premise.
So are y'all going after – because I just found the Richmond one, and they were talking about Occupy Richmond. They're talking about going to the Federal Reserve.
That's happened in a lot of cities. Yeah,
I'm all for it because I know exactly where it is, blah, blah, blah. I'm all
there
for it.
There you go. Well, then get down there.
So this might actually be my first one I actually end up going to. Like I said, I'm trying to work on doing like freelance journalism and stuff. I'm
sure.
trying to start a blog on the internet and all.
Great.
And I'm all for this stuff. You know, it's about time that people stood up and started doing stuff like this.
Yeah, yeah.
Because, you know, I'm only 21 years old, and – ever
well, I congratulate you on your insight and your desire to make a difference and to take part. That's,
thank you.
Those are good attributes, so keep it up, man.
Thank you.
Yeah, keep your integrity about you.
Yeah,
you know?
I'm tired of all the bull that happens, you know, and it's
exactly.
hard to find people who agree with me because they're like, oh, you know, there's nothing we can do about it. They're the government. They're going to do what they want, and the mentality shouldn't be like that.
Exactly right. That's what we're battling every single day of every year. Exactly right. And you know what? We're going to prevail. It just takes – you have to take have an iron butt and just sit tight and let it happen, man. You gotta stay with it.
Yeah. I'm honestly hoping that we can actually change something out of this because,
I think you're right.
I'm tired of people like saying my generation doesn't know what's going on. with the internet nowadays
and
meeting people and understanding,
yep.
My generation knows anything about everything, and then we try to talk to people about it, and they're like, well, where did you get the information from? And, you know, we say,
that's
yeah,
because they don't know.
right. And we say, hey,
pathetic,
you know, we do.
Yeah,
take time to do research is what I always say. Don't come at me and tell me you know things just because you saw it on TV. Go back and do research, and then come at me with facts, and then we talk about it.
TV could be a great source of information, but it really isn't. It's so perverted and so twisted and so incomplete.
It's owned by corporations.
It's run by corporations.
Yeah.
You never get a clear picture.
It's owned by corporations, but I do commend you for speaking up and looking up and saying what's going on and wanting to be a part of it, wanting to chronicle it. To chronicle it, to write a blog, or to even get a show like this on Blog Talk Radio and talk about it, it's the right instinct that you have, and so I commend you, and I say to you, get on down there with Occupy Richmond and find some of your friends because you've got a lot of friends there.
Yeah,
and as soon as your blog comes into being. Within a few weeks, depending on, you know what you need to do, you need to read other blogs and comment on them. That'll lead that'll draw people to you. Once your blog is established, you're going to find a lot of similar-minded people, and you'll even find a few people that might want to argue with you. But it'll be fine, and you'll be able to survive just well enough, and you'll draw a following of your own, and you'll be very glad that you did it. It'll be one of the most rewarding things you've ever ventured upon.
I'm very serious about this one. I'm honestly kind of preparing for it. I need to go I got to charge up my camera and stuff for when I can get a chance to get down there, and then I'm hopefully going to be down there.
Well, I hope you do. You'll learn a lot just from people at the Occupy Richmond event.
Yeah, I want to get
so
a couple of interviews.
People. Listen to the speakers. Talk to the people that are there, young, old, in between, everybody. Talk to them all. You can't go wrong by talking to people.
Yep, I want to hopefully get a couple interviews in and post them on YouTube and stuff. That would be great.
There you go, man. That's better. That's great.
That's a start.
So,
we actually have our roving correspondent down in New York at Liberty Plaza, and I'm going to bring her on.
Yeah, stay on,
Voices
Truth.
Of the Truth. Thank you very much for your input and what you've had to say. Important stuff. Trisha Poole, are you there?
Yeah, Barbara Ehrlich was just speaking.
Oh, wow.
She was in D.C. yesterday, huh?
What did she have to say?
She said that the people in power are irresponsible, so it's the people's responsibility to take the power back.
Very true.
And so she was, you know, anyway, it was, it's kind of hard to hear, but she was in the middle of the circle, and so all of us had to shout out what she was saying,
The beauty of their democracy. It's the beauty of their democracy. I love it. Mic check.
Well, that's exactly what's happening. And there's little teach-ins everywhere. Like some trader just came down and started standing up and made it, you know, just talking about how Wall Street works to tell the anybody who will stop and listen. And, you know, and there was another girl down doing the same thing, and I'm going to get mixed up in a drum circle here in a minute again, which means nobody can hear, but it's a lot of fun. I'm just going to sit. But, it's really just, I mean, like the people who are staying here, you know, they're just kind of sitting around and making little quilts to cover themselves with now. I'm just sitting across from a couple guys are laying down talking, a girl is quilting, there's pieces of American flags involved with all sorts of things, and their sign at their little spot. says, choose love, not fear. And we are
great.
The new slave class. We are the 99%. So
yeah.
It's just really great to be here.
Yeah.
And,
well, thanks for your great reporting. We appreciate it.
Yeah, this
oh,
is
well.
Fun.
Yeah, well, it's a lot of fun. It's a little silly, too, but it's, I mean, it's real great. So I'll be back again. I need to run and meet a friend uptown, so I'm going to be signing off here pretty soon. But, no, it's all good. And they're just so excited to know that you guys are out there in Florida spreading the word to Michigan and Minnesota and wherever else. It's just so exciting for everyone to know it's a
Ever feel like you're missing out on
mobile internet because smartphone plans cost too much? Well, T-Mobile's here to help.
Hello?
Hello.
Hello. I don't even know what that noise is. So I'm going to go. I'll talk to you guys later.
Okay, see you, Trish. Thanks.
Okay, bye.
Alrighty.
That's fabulous. That's great. That's
she's doing a beautiful job. Really
she's
appreciate
doing
it.
Tremendous.
Was that you? The co-pilot is on the line, and her number is hot. You're live, Dusty.
Hi, sweetie. How you doing?
Hi, Dusty.
I'm doing fine. How's California?
I'm in Minnesota.
It's cold and damp. It's cold and damp in Cali. I'd like to address the, you know, I'm getting a little irritated with people that are wanting goals. What's their goal? What's their goal? What's their goal?
Yeah, Their goals
can be boiled down to one word. They want justice. They want economic justice,
there
and they
go.
Want political justice.
There you
if
go.
If you read their declaration on the General Assembly website, it tells you that. It tells you that they want justice. They want economic and political justice.
Right.
And it all comes out from there. And with people nowadays are used to immediate gratification, which means they want to know what's going on now. I want gratification now. I want to know what it's all about right now.
Right. Yeah.
And you're not going to get that with a democratically run organization or movement because they're getting everybody's
well, it's not out there for entertainment. It's out there for intelligence. It's not out there for entertainment.
Yeah, they're out there to teach, and that's why. And they have a library at the Occupy Wall Street where you can actually check out
books
by a lot of these famous writers on the economic structures, the policies. You know, it's a great little thing. They're trying to educate people, and you know, so when everybody gets all worked up saying, but they don't have any goals, they don't have any demands, they're not there to demand squat. They're there to educate people and to let the world know that they are looking for economic and political justice within and without the system. And it all everything that's wrong at some point or another comes back to the money in politics. And the corporations who run our news media, the corporations who run our government, you know, by the way of K Street and the lobbying, you know, the billions of dollars that is spent on lobbying our Congress careers, you know, so that they actually let them sit there and let the lobbyists write the laws, like the ones who wrote the health care law, you know, it's people have to calm down and just, you know, go with the flow, take part in the movement, and voice their opinion of what they think it should be about, because that's what they have to get.
They have to get out of this 30-minute mindset, just like on
TV.
Everything's solved in 30 minutes. You know what? Real life is not solved in 30 minutes. Sometimes it takes 30 years.
But it's not
going to
be
solved.
These people aren't looking to solve anything. They're not looking to demand anything. They're looking to educate, and they're looking to get the word out to the politicians of what people are upset about, what the 99% of us are upset about, and we're upset about the injustice in the systems that are taking place in every walk of life and every part of government. There is injustice in some form or fashion,
and through that effective change will result.
Civil rights movement, they didn't list a bunch of damn goals, and I know because I was part of that movement, the farm workers. We basically had a strike going against grape growers. And then the strike spread to all ag in the valley, you know, and they didn't sit there and demand this, that, and the other. In most cases, they were just, you know, it was an action in order to get the population aware of what was going on, what was being done in their name. You know, the same thing with the women's movement.
Yeah.
You know, it was all about justice and inequality. So
all movement.
People got to get over that.
It was about introducing the legislature into the government also and seeing it through, walking it through a lot of times.
Right. Mm-hmm.
You know, and having
people got to get out of that mindset where there has to be a demand. There has to be a specific.
Well, that's media driven. The media loves to have that kind of stuff.
No, I know it is. But people are buying into it. The people that I see who are talking against this movement, their primary bitch is they don't have a concrete set of goals or demands.
Yeah, I heard an idiot talking like that today.
That's their only bitch.
Yeah,
that's their only bitch. That's their main bitch, and it's bullshit.
Exactly.
And they're buying into the same crap that the corporate media is feeding us, where they don't know what they're talking about, they don't know what they're doing. Well, you know what? You guys can say that all you want, but it's growing bigger and bigger in spite of you. So that means all of you assholes have to sit up and take notice, because by the fact that your negativity is getting out there, it's not having an effect that you want it to have.
Right, exactly.
It's a movement. It is a movement.
Yes.
And it is a movement. We have another caller here that I've opened the mic up on, who's been yet to say anything, in the 718 area code. And caller, are you there?
Oh, hi. I didn't know I was. I was just listening, but sure. Yes, I am.
Welcome aboard.
My name is Salahuddin. Oh, thank you. Thank you so much for this forum and this discussion. My name is Salahuddin from New York City.
Hi, Salah.
Actually,
how are you doing?
Very good. Very good.
Great.
What did you want to say?
Well, I think that this sustainable. You mentioned a couple of things briefly. You mentioned Martin Luther King, an icon of civil rights and agitation and activism.
Mm-hmm.
Fred Shuttlesworth, one of his a fellow activist, a contemporary of Martin Luther King, died. I think it was yesterday, a couple of days ago.
Yeah.
So I did not know. Yeah, he died.
Also, the first black dean of Harvard Law School died 24 hours later, and he was real active in the civil rights movement too. So we lost two of them within the span of 24 hours.
Wow.
We're losing them. Yeah. So.
Yeah.
But I just wanted to say also that in terms of looking at what these young people are doing. And there's been some comparisons to the generation of the 60s. And one of the things that the mass media and the powers that be try to do is to translate or reinterpret their behavior as being, to trivialize it, to make it seem as though these are just disaffected youth who are going through a phase. And this
they're trying to marginalize them.
How do they explain that the great amount of retirees on hand, and the great amount of veterans, and the great amount of non-young people that are taking an active part in this movement? Well, how do they, they oversimplify everything to the point of ridiculousness, really.
Yes.
But that's their goal. That's their goal.
Exactly.
Their goal is to marginalize the movement.
Yeah, they don't want to inform the public. They want to re-educate the public along their realm, which is crazy.
Well, they either want to squash it. There's two things I can see that's going on between Fox and MSNBC and CNN, which you would consider the MSM, right? There are two things. They either want to co-opt it and put their spin on it, or they want to marginalize it, as you say, and dismiss it.
Right.
Did anybody catch Ann Coulter, for crying out loud?
Oh,
jeez.
God. Oh, pathetic. Oh, and Glenn Beck. Did you hear what Glenn Beck had to say? He compared them all to you know what's going to happen now? We're going to have gas chambers. I laughed so loud when I heard that. That guy is absolutely crazy.
Well, beginning to sound very, very trite from that end of the thing. In 3 days, the occupation was 3 days that the occupation was on. And he came back from, vacation, and he has covered it honestly ever since. That's a big difference. That's current TV.
Right.
Democracy Now!, Amy Goodman, has been covering it with good integrity and intention.
Exactly.
So there is good media out there.
Right.
And this young man who's on with us today, who is interested in going down to Occupy Richmond and recording or chronicling it. Good for you. Get down there. Do it. Be a part of it. Walk it. Booyah. You know?
Yep. Get that blog going, my friend. Get it going.
It's the and the honest nature of it is really needs to be because like we're saying the if you're watching CNN or MSNBC or what's the other one, Fox, you're not getting the right information. It's all a bunch of spin.
No,
or outright lies.
You get it on Link TV too. That's a good network. Not everybody has
free speech TV is really good. And,
Russia Today is very good. Russia Today.
See, I can't. Yeah, I've heard that. That's good.
Well, free speech TV has got Russia Today. It's got Al Jazeera. They also have Tom Hartman on for a couple hours every morning.
Great.
Tom Hartman is talking about this every single day. His radio show is broadcast live on free speech TV. I don't think very many cable companies have free speech TV, but I know the Dish Networks do, and the DirecTV has it, which is the one I subscribe to. But you can get all your alternative information, your alternative media on those channels, which will give you a lot more in-depth time. They will spend a lot more time on these issues than the 60-second sound bites you're going to get off of the nightly news on the three major networks, you know.
Right.
Can I ask you another question?
Sure.
Do you think it'd be a good idea to start doing some what they call culture jamming? I know I don't know if y'all have heard of that or not.
Culture
jamming? I'm not familiar with it.
Like alternative media is what they call it. It's like governmental posters and stuff. That they post up, like, you know how, like, they got a picture of Obama and George Bush, and it says tyranny under both of them, and they just post it everywhere?
Huh. Yeah.
Like, things like that?
That's, like, anonymous. Yeah, I've seen here. Yeah.
Yeah.
I think that is useful. Any messaging that brings the awareness up to what is actually, as Dusty pointed out, just. What is going on? What is actually going on and is just? I think tyranny belongs under both of them. Yeah.
Yeah, I would agree. I would agree.
Because they're both pro-profiteering by the corporations and the military-industrial complex, which is, you know, pretty much...
Truth, I would encourage you to occupy Richmond, but I also encourage you to run down any source you possibly can. Because within a certain amount of time, you're going to find the ones that are completely bogus, the ones that are completely corporatist, and the ones that are real. You'll be able to tell the difference between all three. And I encourage you to do as much research as you possibly can.
The other thing
that
is he still on there?
Yeah, I'm here. I had my mic muted. I got a little bit of a cold. I mute my mic. I gotta, like I said. I heard you.
Yeah, man, keep it going. Just do whatever you can. Knowledge
is power. The
other
thing that the movement has to be careful of is the co-opting that's trying to go on from the inside. The folks in the unions now are trying to gently co-opt the movement because they figure since they're putting time and money and effort into it, that they should have the ability to name what's going on and to put their agenda out there too. And so for me, I think it's more important for the movement to be aware of the co-opting from the inside out as opposed to listening to Ann Coulter and Glenn Beck and the likes of those jackasses, you know. That's something that they're fighting against, and they have from day one, because it is a democratically set up movement, whereas everybody, the union doesn't have any more power than the little old lady that's standing next to the big union boss,
and that's
what's nice about it.
And that's the way it should be, and it should continue to be that way.
But the unions are trying in a subtle way to co-opt the movement, and of course, I spoke the other day when I was running the show about how Campaign for America's Future was trying to do that. MoveOn.org, the biggest bastards in 10 counties, they're trying to co-opt the hell out of it. Mm-hmm. And, those are the kind of people, and as far as I know, and if anybody knows any different, I'll be more than happy for them to correct me, and I will apologize. But MoveOn, who has millions and millions of dollars at their disposal, hasn't given an effing dime to the cause. They haven't helped these guys out with money
or
anything.
Very suspicious, you know.
Let me finish. What pisses me off is that they've got millions of dollars at their disposal, but they actually are sending emails out now with Van Jones's name on it, begging for more money for MoveOn and using the taglines of Occupy Wall Street, how we're in solidarity with them. And that
you
is disgusting. That's totally, yes, I have one. I have them in. Even though I no longer work for them, I haven't worked for them in years once I figured out their agenda, I still stay on their mailing list, so I see their begging letters. I get their begging letters because I want to see what they're using. They're no different than the Democratic National Convention or the RNC. They find issues that are hot in the news, and they use that crap to beg for more money. And they're sitting on millions and millions of dollars, and they're not offering any type of help to these guys as far as monetary needs. And we all know they have monetary needs. I heard this morning somebody said, I think somebody did, I'm not sure, it might not have been Tom Hartman, that they have $25,000 in their kitty. And that sounds like a lot of money, but it's not really a lot of money because they actually finally broke down and bought some sleeping bags for people and things, you know, because people, you know, we're trying to sleep sitting up and, you know, and they're freezing to death because it's raining off and on in New York and stuff like that. But, you know, it just sticks in my craw when I get an email from MoveOn or from Van Jones begging me for more money for them when they haven't given a damn dime to anything that's going on in OWS.
It is actually, Oso is typing in the chat room that MoveOn.org undercut the anti-war movement among Democratic politicians.
Of course they did, and that's when I quit working for them. I found out, when I asked them, why aren't you giving any money? And they basically told me to shut up and do what they had asked me to do. I said, why aren't you giving any money to the protests in L.A. when we had those big protests every year on the anniversary of the war, which is today for Afghanistan? And I would drive down there and attend those. And then I would come back and I would ask the person ahead of me and MoveOn, are you guys contributing to these? No, we don't do that. Well, you're not even supporting them verbally. You guys are silent.
They're becoming very corporate,
and that's why,
like,
I
in nature.
Away.
They're getting very corporate in nature, aren't they? I mean, that's
oh, they're very corporate. No. That's what I call the professional left. And they're not any different than the DNC or the RNC.
Yeah,
they have their own agenda, their own self-interest, and I'll be damned if they support anybody with organizing skills or with money. Yeah. And there's all these things. You know, they have their own little party going on in D.C. this coming week, and, you know, they can kiss my ass. I wouldn't attend one if they paid me because they have their own agenda, and they don't support any of the other movements, and it's bullshit. I have another call on my other line, so I got to go. But
all right, I'm
going to
go too, but I want to thank everybody for for listening today, and I encourage all of you to attend your local Occupy events and do your best. So until next time, until Sunday, Gwen, thank you very much. And until next time around, everybody, keep up the good work.
Okay. Thank you, Jack.
Thank you. Bye-bye now.
Today. We've been on here for an hour and a half today, and I certainly want to thank the Voice of Truth from Richmond, Virginia, for coming on and talking with us. And explaining who he was and where he was coming from. And kudos to you, darling. Go on down to Occupy Virginia or Occupy Richmond and chronicle it. I want to give everybody some useful information. As you heard Tricia Poole or our own P.E. Nolan talking, calling in from New York at the Occupy Wall Street site. She was telling you just exactly what they can use down there. And they can use bedrolls. They can use blankets. They can use lots of new socks. Please send socks. They also need They can also use herbal painkillers. They need melatonin. They need homeopathic arnica and belladonna. They also need toothbrushes and toothpaste. And they could also use some raincoats. And they want coats, but anything helps. You can send in rain ponchos. You can send in blankets. They really are in need. And because they have opened up an account at a local credit union, you can also send them checks and money orders now, folks. Checks included. But money, cash, always helps. So please remember and send your boxes to the Up Store, and it's in care of Occupy Wall Street at 118 A. A is in Apple, Fulton Street, number 205, and that's New York, New York, 10038. Please remember, you can find out so much good information. Dusty came on, and she was informing us about all of the different information regarding the declaration that's been made and what their intentions are, and just to basically give you anyone who isn't really aware, you can find all the information that you need at OccupyTogether.org. There are links to all of the different information that you might want to access that tells you about what's going on. Once again, I'd like to give you the link for the Washington, D.C. movement, which began yesterday, and it's October 2011, and it's at Freedom Plaza in Washington, D.C. Folks there, you can find at October2011.org, you can find a live feed, just like you can find the Global Revolution live feed at Occupy Together for Wall Street, for Occupy Wall Street. We're getting feeds from all the different different cities. Now, as Jack and I were telling you earlier in the show, it began with about 100 and some odd cities that had been signed up when the site went up about the first of the week or the end of last week. It is now up to 907 cities globally that are having Occupy Together. And I want to give some recognition and notice and send some love to Occupy Lake Worth, and I'll be there tomorrow morning for the meeting at 10 a.m. in the park down here at Bryant Park. We have an Occupy West Palm Beach and Occupy Lake Worth locally. So I'll be at my own hometown, and I'm just sending the love to them. And please remember that we have had Occupy San Francisco out with Dusty and also in California, Occupy Los Angeles, and those folks are taking it on the knock. There's some arrests going on there, and they're having to fight for their little spot in the city. So all this information can be accessed at OccupyTogether.org, OccupyWallStreet.org, and you can also find out how things are going at Freedom Plaza in Washington, D.C. at October2011.org. That's October2011.org. Please don't forget them. And they have needs, too. They're raising funds. They're pretty together. They have been planning this for I guess it's about 2 months now that I've been aware of them online. The supporting vendors there are Food Not Bombs, a group I am very appreciative of. Food Not Bombs is feeding the homeless in several cities, not the least of which is Orlando, where The police will arrest the Food Not Bombs people just for feeding the homeless. I mean, we're in it here. We're in the thick of it. I do appreciate everybody for listening in. I'm going to give you a little information for October 2011 group. They're supporting vendors like Food Not Bombs. Are also the first, the biggie is Jumbo Pizza, and that's at 1344 U Street in Northwest Washington, D.C., and the phone number is 202-667-0032. Now, you can find this information on the face page of October2011.org, which gives you a whole bunch of information and also gives you Dr. Margaret Flower's recent posts and Kevin Z's recent posts. And remember, over there at October 11, they've got quite a crew that is going to be, and they are running live feeds simultaneous. I'm sorry? Oh, yes, they're doing workshops. It's just a lot going on. The same thing is they're developing at Occupy Wall Street and Liberty Plaza. On October2011.org website, you will find the simultaneous live feeds for both places, which I find useful because I'm into both. I want to know what's happening with each one of them. So I'm going to tell you that that's, you can have your browsers up, have Occupy Together and October2011 up, along with your Facebook or whatever you have up most of the time. I'm looking for information I wanted to get out to you today. Okay, and I think we've gotten most of that. Now, if you will remember from New York when Tricia was calling in, she actually told us they need tarps and blankets and boxes of energy bars. And I want you to do me a favor. If you're going to put a box together, and now that I have some transportation around me, I'm going to be doing that tonight, going over and getting something from the health food stores. They need boxes of energy bars. If you live close to Whole Foods, why don't you walk in there and shame them into giving you some stuff? They can afford it, really. But they need tarps, they need blankets, and those energy bars. And if you buy them by the box, and I mean, you know, there's like 20, 24 bars in the box. My old roommate, who my buddy Asa, he still probably does buys them by the box like that. They're not real expensive. You can get and they're good food, and they do feed your need for energy. So please remember these things. Socks, melatonin, because they need it for sleeping aids. Also, the homeopathic application of a rescue remedy is real important for these folks because the weather is turning. It's harvest time. It is fall, and this American fall, folks are out there in the weather. Please remember, they need to keep their immune system strong. So sending them any kind of rescue remedy or anything that is going to reinforce their immune systems and their overall health, it's really important. All you have to do is ask somebody there. And, you know, chances are, if you tell the people that you are purchasing from at a nutrition store or health food store, people might say, well, here's another one from the store to go ahead and send to them. Everything counts. Everything helps. So where you're going to send that is to Occupy Wall Street, care of Occupy Wall Street at the Up Store, and that's 118 Hay, A as in Apple, at Fulton Street, number 205, New York, New York, 10038. Please remember that it's OccupyTogether.org. You know, I have all these wonderful, and I'm sending some love out to the co-pilot at the beginning of the week, Dusty Taylor from the leftwingnutjob.net. She is also one of the writers at roundtree7.com, and she has loaded us up with some excellent, wonderful stuff. And because Dusty was on today and brought this up, and she is the one who loaded this up, I believe, or maybe I did, but she's put all this wonderful stuff here. We haven't played a tape at all. I am actually going to play us off today in conclusion on a Friday, and I'm not sure who's got it tomorrow. It may be Tricia and Woody here for you. I'm not sure yet. It might be me and my kid sister, the bat signal liberal of the family. You just never know, but it is definitely Here Be Monsters you've been listening to, and it is sponsored by the Daughters of Isis Ancestor Aromacology and Roundtree 7 and the number 7 there, .com. I'm going to leave you off with a reading here by Keith Overman of the General Assembly's
Declaration. Johnny Mulaney, reporter of the New York Daily News, has tweeted at this hour that police are indeed pepper spraying and arresting Occupy Wall Street protesters on Wall Street. Additionally, I can see protesters in Kettled area on Wall and Broadway doing jazz hands in air. Additionally, we had told you earlier from Ryan Devereaux of Democracy Now, who's on the program earlier in the week, that he reports from Broadway and Wall Street, protesters attempted to enter the Wall Street area after the basically 12-block march from Foley Square back to Zuccotti Park via City Hall, that police pushed back. Fights ensued, random pepper spraying into that crowd that tried to occupy Wall Street, literally to get onto Wall Street. Police on horseback came out, more police showed up, arrests were made. Ryan Devereaux said he personally saw at least 20 people arrested. Obviously nothing close to the 700 at Brooklyn Bridge on Saturday, but barricades were knocked down. And so after an extraordinarily peaceful and accomplished-filled day, the Occupy Wall Street protesters, as night falls in New York, it's an entirely different scene, and we're going to continue to provide you with details as they come into us here at the control desk. For the whole of the time that the Occupy Wall Street protesters have been making their case for a sea change in the way we Americans permit big business to draw and quarter and circumscribe our lives. Media, too corrupt or too dense to understand anything more complicated than whether the blonde is missing or the verdict is guilty, have parroted what do they want, what is their catchphrase. In our third story, it is not a catchphrase, but it is a declaration of what they want. That the document, which I will read in full in a moment, is not a list of laws to be repealed nor politicians to be elected, may only confuse the precocious ninth graders now passing for TV anchor newsmen these days, but the absence of the kind of painted footsteps with which they used to mark the floors of dance instruction studios is, in a way, breathtaking. The 2x4 that Errol Lewis described, it implies that there is so much to change, that such a tipping point has been reached, that some easy-to-apply band-aids just are not going to be enough. And it implies that the commentators and politicians and moneyed interests that do not come to understand the scope of what must change will be without influence and without power before they realize that the change has happened. So with that as preamble, here is, formally and finally, what Occupy Wall Street says and wants. It is, in essence, their special comment. As we gather together in solidarity to express a feeling of mass injustice, we must not lose sight of what brought us together. We write so that all people who feel wronged by the corporate forces of the world can know that we are your allies. As one people, united, we acknowledge the reality that the future of the human race requires the cooperation of its members, that our system must protect our rights, and upon corruption of that system, it is up to the individuals to protect their own rights and those of their neighbors, that the democratic government derives its just power from the people, but corporations do not seek consent to extract wealth from the people and the earth, and that no true democracy is attainable when the process is determined by economic power. We come to you at a time when corporations, which place profit over people, self-interest over justice, and oppression over equality, run our governments. We have peaceably assembled here, as is our right, to let these facts be known. They have taken our houses through an illegal foreclosure process, despite not having the original mortgage. They have taken bailouts from taxpayers with impunity and continue to give executives exorbitant bonuses. They have perpetuated inequality and discrimination in workplaces based on age, the color of one's skin, sex, gender identity, and sexual orientation. They have poisoned the food supply through negligence and undermined the farming system through monopolization. They have profited off the torture, confinement, and cruel treatment of countless animals and actively hide these practices. They have continuously sought to strip employees of the right to negotiate for better pay and safer working conditions. They have held students hostage with tens of thousands of dollars of debt on education, which is itself a human right. They have consistently outsourced labor and used that outsourcing as leverage to cut workers' health care and pay. They have influenced the courts to achieve the same rights as people with none of the culpability or responsibility. They have spent millions of dollars on legal teams that look for ways to get them out of contracts in regards to health insurance. They have sold our privacy as a commodity. They have used the military and police force to prevent freedom of the press. They have deliberately declined to recall faulty products, endangering lives in pursuit of profit. They determine economic policy, despite the catastrophic failures their policies have produced and continue to produce. They have donated large sums of money to politicians who are responsible for regulating them. They continue to block alternate forms of energy to keep us dependent on oil. They continue to block generic forms of medicine that could save people's lives or provide relief in order to protect investments that have already turned a substantial profit. They have purposely covered up oil spills, accidents, faulty bookkeeping, and inactive ingredients in pursuit of profit. They purposefully kept people misinformed and fearful through their control of the media. They have accepted private contracts to murder prisoners, even when presented with serious doubts about their guilt. They have perpetuated colonialism at home and abroad. They have participated in the torture and murder of innocent civilians overseas. They continue to create weapons of mass destruction in order to receive government contracts. To the people of the world, we, the New York City General Assembly, occupying Wall Street and Liberty Square, urge you to assert your power, exercise your right to peaceably assemble, occupy public space, create a process to address the problems we face, and generate solutions accessible to everyone. To all communities that take action and form groups in the spirit of direct democracy, we offer support, documentation, and all the resources at our disposal. Join us and make your voices heard. The statement issued from Zuccotti Park by the General Assembly at Occupy Wall Street.
Thanks for being with us. We appreciate it. We'll see y'all tomorrow. We'll hear y'all tomorrow.
And the land is dark.
I see you there, Dusty. Take care. See you tomorrow.
Light we'll see. No, I won't be afraid. Oh, I won't be afraid. Just as long as you stand by me. So darling, darling, stand by me. Oh, stand by me. Oh, stand by me. Stand by me. If the sky that we look upon should tumble and fall, or the mountains should crumble, I won't cry, I won't cry, no, I won't shed a tear, just as long as you stand by me. And
Standing by. That's it for today. Thank you so much for listening in. We'll see you tomorrow.